Good morning. I'm going to invite Margo to come forward here with me as we get ready to kindle the flame of our faith this morning. As we continue our exploration of expectation, and we do so this morning by thinking about how the Christian tradition invites us to look a little bit differently at time, this time of year. What does it mean to wait? What is the good to be found in waiting? And so as we gather around this flame, may we remember all the hearts that have welcomed us, all the time spent waiting, both with expectation and perhaps sometimes in worry. May these fires keep us warm. May we take this time to rest in this moment. So may it be. And welcome to worship.
So I think most of you have probably heard of the little drummer boy. You've heard of the little drummer boy. You know, I wonder if the drum beat that he beat might have been a bit like this. Tirakita-ta-da. Tirakita-ta-da. Will you help me? Tirakita-ta-da. 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 Once, in India, there was a boy who wanted nothing more than to have a drum. His mom wanted nothing more than to be able to give him one. But though she worked long hours, she earned little money, and she couldn't afford to buy him one. She had to spend the money on food and clothes. And one day she was feeling especially sad about not having money for a drum, and as she walked home from her work in the marketplace, she noticed a very beautiful stick lying on the road. It's not a drum, she said, but she picked it up anyway, and she brought it home, and she said, I'm sorry, I can't give you a drum, but here's a stick. The boy looked at that stick. It was a nice stick, and he started to tap it on the side of the house. Tirakita-ta-da. 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 Well, he walked along, and he walked along with that stick, and he tapped it on the fence posts. He tapped it on the trees he walked by, and he tapped it until he came to a neighbor's house where he could hear the woman crying. He went to her and said, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And she said, oh, I have been trying all day to get my fire going. I need to get it going so I can bake my naan bread. Well, the boy looked at the woman and he looked at his stick. And he said, well, here, take this stick. Oh, thank you, she said. And you know, the fire was ablaze in a matter of minutes and she baked some naan bread and he was still there. And she said, why don't you take this? Well, it wasn't exactly a drum, but, you know, he could wave it in the air. And he walked along, and he walked along, and inside his head he could hear that, tirakita-ta-da, tirakita-ta-da, tirakita-ta-da. Well, he walked along, and he walked along, and now he came to another neighbor's house where there was a baby crying. The baby was wailing and wailing, and he said, whatever is the matter? And the woman, who was a potter, said, I've made all sorts of pots, but this week I couldn't sell a single one. So I haven't had money to buy food. And my baby is very hungry. Well, the boy looked at his naan bread, and he looked at the baby, and he thought he wasn't really that hungry. He said, take this. Well, the baby stopped crying right away. And the woman, she was so overjoyed. She said, look, look, oh, here. She had a great big pot. She said, you know, I'll never be able to sell this. This is way too big. Why don't you have it? Oh, thank you, he said. And he lifted it up. It was kind of heavy, but he managed to get it on his head to carry it. And then he could tap it as he walked. Tirakita-ta-da. 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 Well, he walked along and he walked along and he came to the river. And down by the river, there was a man and a woman. It was the washerwoman and washerman, and they were arguing. One was saying, "It's your fault." The other was saying, "No, no, no, you did it." And the boy says, "What's going on? Why are you arguing like that?" And they said, "Oh, well, you wouldn't believe it. Our washing pot broke. How are we supposed to wash the clothes?" Well, he offered them the big ceramic pot he'd just been given. He said, "Please, take this." "It's perfect," they said. "It's perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much." And they looked around for something they could give the boy, and then they noticed a very beautiful coat. Now, that coat they'd washed it months ago, and the owner had never come back to get it. They said, "You better take this coat." Well, the boy tried it on, and the sleeves were kind of long, but he loved all the little mirrors and embroidery that were on that coat, and so he continued walking, and he flapped his sleeves a little bit. Tirakita-ta-da! 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 And he walked along, and he walked along, and he walked all the way to a park where there was a whole big group of people sitting. They were looking very dismal. There's a father and a mother and a young man, and then a bunch of musicians. He said, "Why are you looking so sad?" They said, Oh, today is our son's wedding," said the father. "Our son, but we can't find his jacket. And he can't get married without his beautiful jacket." The boy had kind of enjoyed seeing himself looking so elegant, but he took off the coat and he offered it to the groom. "Thank you, thank you," said the whole group. They said, "And we want to give you something in return. What would you like?" Well, the boy had already noticed that there were about three tablas there, three drums that the musicians had. And he said, "Well, could you spare one of those?" Sure, they said. So now the boy walked home with this tabla under his arm and tirakita-ta-da, tirakita-ta-da, tirakita-ta-da. Oh, his mom looked up. She couldn't believe her eyes. And the boy said, "It happens sometimes." She said, "You were obviously very patient and very generous." And at that, her smile spread from one end of India all the way to the other. A nice thought about how happy we can make other people with gifts.
I want to invite us into this time of meditation and prayer by first acknowledging that this is a tender time of year, a time when hearts often feel soft, when the losses that we have experienced in our lifetime come to the surface, when those in our lives that we are worried about feel even more present with us. And so now, into this space and time, I invite you to either share aloud or simply hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts those you have brought in with you into this space this morning. Will you please join me now in prayer? Spirit of life and of love, as we approach Christmas and as we approach a new year, in this season of Advent, we do indeed pray that something new might be coming, We know that these weeks of Advent remind us of hope and peace and love and joy. All ingredients in life that make us feel sustained and centered and nurtured. And as we gather this morning, we're so aware, so almost painfully aware of how many people who share this planet with us are without joy, without hope, without peace, and feeling as though they are without love. We pray this day that all of those things might make their way into the lives of all people on this planet, all beings on this planet. And we pray that each of us, in our own way, in our own small way, might be a source, might be a flame, a beacon, a light that offers some of that hope, joy, peace, and love as we move about our days. For all of this, and for the beauty of this season, we lift our hearts this day and pray to be of use. So may it be, now and always. Amen.
This mic, here we go, okay. I have never experienced Advent before, but I have experienced the practice of waiting a good wait and the anticipation of the reward at its end. If you've ever fished, then you know something about what I'm talking about. Fishing of any kind takes patience and perseverance. But for me, kayak fishing takes those elements and turns them into a spiritual practice. There can be a lot of preparation and planning before you make that first cast. What lure and how much lead line to use, how deep you want to set the hook, and the weather. You have to wait for the right conditions. Crosswinds and a choppy surface make it difficult to control a small craft. With kayak fishing, rhythm is everything. As you paddle pulling your line behind, you need to find that sweet spot in your stroke that makes the lure appealing to the fish. Slow enough to catch their eye, and just fast enough so they don't lose interest. When I find that rhythm out there on the lake, under the big sky with nothing but the trees and mountains surrounding me, rocked by the motion of the water beneath me, I feel in sync, connected to everyone and everything. I feel both awed by the enormity of it all and comforted by knowing that I have a place in this ancient and ever-changing wholeness. If I catch a fish, and I don't always, then it's a gift, a bonus in recognition of my perseverance. And coated with cornmeal and fried up over a campfire, to me there is nothing that tastes better, the waiting having made it all the more flavorful. But don't take my word for it. When have you experienced a good wait? And was the reward in the practice or at the end as you expected it to be?
I mentioned at the choir concert back on the 7th that I was feeling especially a need of some Christmas and some Advent this year. It's been kind of a hard fall. I don't know if it's been that way for you, but I feel like between the election in the States and lots of folks in my own personal life having a really hard go of things lately. Like I could really use some Christmas. And I was thinking, as the choir was singing and as I chose O Come, Emmanuel this week, I was thinking about two children that I knew when I was working as a child care provider. And one of them, his name was Emmanuel. And he and his brother would get in these tiffs, as brothers are often wont to do. And they're only about a year apart, these two brothers. And I remember one day these two were arguing with each other about something. And finally, the ultimate thing that this one brother could say about his brother, Emmanuel, he said, I'm so mad at you. Emmanuel means God is not with us. I was thinking of that little guy this week. I thought, oh, God is not with us. Take that. Feels like we've been a little left out in the cold, like two brothers bickering a lot this fall. So we'll see if we can't turn things around in 2017. My reading for this morning is actually a prayer, an Advent prayer written by a friend of mine who's one of the folks who's had a hard fall. Who I told you recently, her husband just died unexpectedly at the age of 60. Her name is Reverend Janet Salbert, and she's a Methodist minister serving in Virginia, and this is a slightly edited version of a prayer of hers entitled Shine Bright. So I invite you to receive it as a prayer. Gentle rhythm of life, who brings creation forth through a pause, we confess our pace is frantic in this season. We are all strangers looking for a place to rest in unfamiliar surroundings. We don't quite know where our journey is taking us. So slow our breathing in this moment. Hold us until we become quiet and aware of your presence. Rather than being lost in the world, help us lose ourselves in you, that we might be recreated. The peace on earth we long for will shine bright when it happens first in us. Amen. The good in waiting. The double meaning in my title, the double entendre, if you will. You like that? That's what 6.5 years of living in Canada will do for you. And a daughter in French immersion. It works. The double meaning in my title this morning, I hope, is an invitation to see the beauty and potential in Advent. I was quite intentional in choosing the good in waiting because there is this time of year good in waiting. Whatever you may believe about Jesus of Nazareth, there can be little debate or doubt about the good that he did in his life and his ministry. The good in waiting that was Jesus' ministry still resonates with us to this day, thousands of years later. Jesus, as perennial representation of the birth and rebirth of peace, hope and love, and perhaps most poignantly this year, a reminder that we are called to align ourselves with those on the margins of society, to stand up to the Herods of our day. There is good in waiting still. But there is also, as Dar's reflection pointed out, good in waiting. I'm not sure we believe that any longer, if we ever did. We are, after all, instant or immediate gratification people, are we not? It's kind of like moving from dial-up speed to high-speed internet as we have nowadays. We don't like to wait for anything. We think that results and ends are all that matter. So much so that we have forgotten that sometimes the act of waiting itself has value, that waiting can be good. In fact, we've forgotten that there are some things in life, even, I dare I say it, some of the best things in life, take time. We have to wait. In fact, when you think about it, so many of the precious things in life, like building connections that matter, like working for justice, like looking for love, take time. Precious time. You'll have to wait for them. I didn't grow up, much like Dar, I didn't grow up with Advent, but over time it has become one of the parts of the Christian liturgical year that I most appreciate. I appreciate that it honors expectation and waiting as values worthy of uplifting. I most of all appreciate the sense that not only do we wait and expect, like opening each little door on the Advent calendar, but that we prepare. Not by trimming a tree or putting up lights, but a much deeper sense of preparation. In other words, we don't just wait idly by for good things to happen or for life to happen to us, but we prepare our beings. We prepare our hearts and souls and spirits for the deepest gifts of life. Just as peace and hope and love can't be gift-wrapped or put under a tree, we cannot receive what the season has to offer if we don't lay some groundwork, if we don't do some foundation laying within ourselves. I love that one of the seasonal hymns, one of our seasonal carols talks about, let every heart prepare him room, right? And often we sing right past that line, like, yeah, prepare, okay, I'm going to put up my deck. No, let every heart prepare room. Let every spirit prepare room for new possibilities of peace and justice and hope for all people. For these glad tidings to arrive, we might actually have to be awake. We might actually have to be ready. So how do we prepare ourselves in these challenging days? How do we prepare ourselves for the big things, the meaningful things, the significant things in life? How do we prepare ourselves to be allies to those on the margins? How do we prepare ourselves to be people of good faith and goodwill in a time when so many are being pushed aside and seen as less than? Advent literally means coming, like something new might come. It might be the advent of new things. But are we really ready for that? Do we really believe that? That advent, that there might be an advent of something new in our world, in our lives? I don't know about you, but I find that when I try to comprehend something like this, I need to work in metaphors. I can't just picture something big coming and changing my life or changing my world or changing my being as I know it. I need an image to hang on to. So I have two to offer you this morning. If Advent has to do with ushering something new in, with bringing something new forth, then I like to picture Advent as a time of sort of tilling the soil of the soul. So for you gardeners, maybe that works. I know that you can't do a lot of tilling soil right now. It's pretty hard out there. But I was reminded as I thought about that metaphor of kind of turning over the soil of my being to be ready for something new, about winter itself and our kind of false view of winter spiritually. We think of winter, we think we look out and we look at this landscape and we think that things are just dead. All the leaves are gone, everything looks so barren, it looks so empty. But great Quaker spiritual teacher Parker Palmer once said that in a course I was doing with him, he said, you know, people have winter all wrong. They think it's just nothing, empty. He said, but if you really think about the seasons and how the seasons work, and you really think about winter, what you'll really come to understand is that winter is a time of dormancy. It's not dead. It's just waiting. And so he looked at all of us and he said, so what's waiting in you? What's dormant in your being? What's dormant in your spirit? That if you did some good tending, some good care of that soil during this hibernation time of winter, might come to flourish in the spring. And I really appreciated that. So I want you to spend some time this winter thinking about that. What's dormant in you right now? What's waiting to be born in you? What might happen? What might I notice in March or April when you come back? Because you prepared your heart right now in winter, in this dormant season, to find something new. Ever since he said that, I was like, wow, winter's great. I've been underestimating winter my whole life. Much like we underestimate the power of darkness. We're always craving the light. Bring me the light. But Parker Palmer was saying, sometimes we need to hunker down. We need to hibernate. We need to get into that dormant, dark seed place in order for that light to matter at all. And so my second Advent metaphor for you comes from music. Because I was thinking about this week about the importance of the rests in music. We think all that matters is the notes, is the sounds. But think about how sometimes what's really powerful in music is the pause. Is that rest at just the right spot that it makes you wait for it, right? There are lots of pieces of music that I feel like I'm in it, and then just make me wait. Just a little bit. And then something else comes pouring toward me, and it's that rest. It's that silence from which music, from which all sound comes. It's like I wouldn't appreciate the notes if I couldn't and didn't appreciate the rests. That's kind of a metaphor for life too, right? I wouldn't appreciate the life if I didn't appreciate the rests. So we need this time, this Advent time of preparing our hearts, tilling the soil of our spirits, resting in between the notes, if we are to find that place of renewal and rebirth. So I want to invite you to think about those seasons of change and transformation in your life, to think about the Advent-sized pauses. How do you take stock of your spirit? How and when do you make sure that you are allowing space for reflection and preparation? And how do those preparations that you do prepare you not only for what you know you're going to be doing in life, but actually prepare you for the unexpected as well? You notice that when you actually kind of tend to those rests and those pauses, that then when the curveball comes, you're much more like a Tai Chi master. You're able to take that energy and move it and move with it rather than resist it, because you've done that preparation. I was remembering that I went to a really rich and deep Advent reflection time probably a decade ago now with one of my favorite spiritual memoir writers, a woman by the name of Lauren Winner. And she was talking during that Advent reflection about time, about the whole notion of time. And she said, we're lousy about time. We have no appreciation. She said, even the way we talk about time is all wrong. We use these like economic kinds of terms. You know, we spend our time and and it gets even worse. Sometimes we talk about killing time. We have no sensibility about time, because time becomes this linear, incremental thing. And she was saying Advent is this moment when we could rethink that whole relationship with time and think about not living in time in this incremental, like, well, today I do this, tomorrow I do that, next month, and next year, but to think about and envision inhabiting time, almost like taking up space. And I thought, wow, that's almost so deep I don't quite get it. But it was so beautifully challenging to me to think about how might we live in time rather than allowing time to live us. You know what I mean? Like, we fill our calendar up and we think, like, that. Well, that's my life. Those are my days. At 2, I'm going to do this, and then next Monday at 9, I'm going to do that. What if we radically changed our relationship to our calendars and said, what do I want to be tomorrow? Not just where am I going to be and who am I going to be with, but what if I really inhabited tomorrow in a new kind of way? That would be an Advent. And this whole notion of kind of how time, how a year, how months, how days, how hours, they're all so precious. Why not inhabit them rather than spend them or kill them? So I invite you during this Advent season, a season of coming and becoming, of renewal, to till the soil, to rest, to inhabit, and then to share what you find there with the rest of us. Blessings on this season of time and on every season of life. So may it be. And amen. So many lovely words are spoken this time of year. So many aspirations of a world more peaceful, of a humankind that understands one another, appreciates one another. So many words about joy. It occurs to me that all of those things begin with us, begin in the heart of each of us, as we seek to share a sense of love, a sense of joy, a sense of peace. Whatever pieces of those things you have within your being, I invite you this season to share them. I invite you to rest, to till the soil, and to share what you find there. May it be so. And amen.